Welcome to the FPL USA Press Play Podcast. Holy cannoli, this is going to be an ultra special episode. You got Bucks, Black Wolf, and Brian mic'd up and ready to rumble with a really special guest on this episode. Co-hosts on the West Best Coast. Say hello and what's up to our listeners.
What's good? We got some green arrows in the house after an exciting game week 27. And now we got the double ahead of us. Another one. Hopefully we'll have more points to behold. Dan, how you doing, mate?
I'm good. As Sir Alex Ferguson used to say, I think it's squeaky bum time with the FPL right now. I'm getting kind of nervous now we're entering chip season because this is usually where I start to fuck up. So
I mean, you're top 10K right now, so hats off to you. And that squeaky bum in the text message is the lemon emoji and the peach emoji. And that's the time of the season because it's make or break and that tight bum is coming.
Yeah, speaking of Dan's bum, I think that's where we end this conversation. And let's throw it over to our fellow Brit in the mix to introduce our legend in the FPL community of a guest. We got a special one for our listeners, and it's a dandy. So if you haven't tuned in yet, this might be a good intro to the FPL USA Press Play Pod and what we're all about. We're all about growing the FPL USA community and growing the FPL game we are addicted to so intently on the shores of our two-time World War winning country of ours. So, Dan, introduce our guest, por favor.
Sure. I mean, I feel like this guy does not need much of an introduction. Wow, down across the FPL community.
Stop.
It's Oscar, aka FPL Focal, on Twitter and YouTube. He has over, 175,000 followers on Twitter. Also, if I'm correct, previously number one in the world for what, 1 or 2 weeks, I think, in the 21-22 season?
Just a couple of weeks.
Yeah, so how you doing, Oscar?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Yeah. Speaking of the FPL USA community, we were saying just before I went live that obviously UK is my biggest following on YouTube, but after the United Kingdom, it's USA. So a big portion of my following. So yeah, it's good to do something, collaborate with FPL USA for the first time. So thanks for the invite.
Absolutely. We're glad to have you. And if you ever make it to our humble shores, we'd be happy to host you on either coast. I'm based in New York and my two more handsome hosts are on the West Coast, understandably so. It's all glitz and glamour out in LA and San Francisco where these guys live.
Do you guys have FPL meets in the USA? Have you been to any?
We do. I'm actually the FPL Meets chairman for the US.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I had a call with Nima, which I think you know Nima. So when he said, I'm going to give you a 5-minute phone call, it lasted about 2 hours.
Oh, that's classic Nima.
We tend to organize them around the US in the major cities. So like Bay Area, Chicago, LA, New York. It's going really well.
They're amazing. Like, we have them in London, obviously, but all over the UK. And I tried to go to as many as possible because it's just a good crack. Like, get to hang out with like-minded people, talk FPL, watch the football, get drunk. So yeah, if anyone's listening and has not been to one, I definitely recommend the FPL meetups.
Oscar, you underplayed how much of a pro you are because we are actually organizing a FPL meets in New York City for this weekend on the 10th. If you want to come out and watch Liverpool, Man City, Aston Villa, Spurs, Ankar Telekar and I are organizing that on X. So it's going to be a great time. We'll have the location chosen and sent out to the community by, let's say, end of day Thursday. So once you've had a chance to listen to this episode, you'll also be able to fight with your better half or your girlfriend or your roommate to make sure that it's okay for you to join on the fun, get in on the drinking, and let's see some great matches. I think those are two of the best matches of the season coming up in the weekend. So should be a good time. You're a pro. We paid you to say that, Oscar.
Yeah, and if you want to engage with the FPL meets that Bucks is throwing down, just hit him up on social. There's also a quick plug for a few of our other kind of groups that we have. We have FPL Meets USA for New York and a group specifically set up for the Bay Area. So make sure to hit Dan and Bucks and I up about that if you're interested in getting added to those groups.
All right. Without further ado, Oscar, we do want to give you a chance to more properly introduce yourself, maybe a little more rough and tumble than you normally do on your YouTube channel or on your social posts. So can you introduce yourself to the FPL USA listeners who might not know your origin story and a little bit about how you came to become such an influential figure in the FPL game?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of a crazy story. It started a few years ago. You remember we went into lockdown for COVID. I don't know if you had the lockdowns as well, but here in the UK, when we had COVID, we had to stay indoors and, you know, we're trying to keep ourselves busy to do whatever we could. And back then, one of my friends started streaming himself gaming on Twitch. You know, and he got a bit of a following from that. And I thought, that's really cool that he's done that. And he said to me, like, you should start streaming as well. And I said, well, what do I stream? Because I don't really play games as much as I used to when I was younger. And he said, yeah, why don't you start streaming FPL? Because you're obsessed with that. I've always been obsessed with FPL. And I've played for over a decade now. So that was like midway through the 2021 season. And I was streaming for a few months to just a couple of viewers, like barely anyone tuned in. But I just, like I said, I love FPL. So I was happy with that. Happy to talk FPL with anyone. Yeah. And then the next season, I thought I may as well start doing videos as well. And that was when everything kind of lined up perfect. That was when I had that incredibly lucky run, as you mentioned earlier, where I got to rank one in the world for a couple of weeks. And so, yeah, that's kind of how I got to where I am. Obviously, FPL is quite a saturated space. So aside from the weekly videos, I tried to do some original stuff as well. Like I've done a video on the all-time FPL dream team, like the biggest FPL score of all time. Did like an interview with the all-time number one manager. So, yeah, I was juggling that with my old office job for like a year. So that was difficult. You know, I'd get up at 6 in the morning, get home at 6 p.m, editing videos till 9 p.m. And yeah, eventually YouTube got to the point where I was able to quit my job. So for about 2 years now, full-time FPL, which is unbelievable. Like I still pinch myself. I get imposter syndrome, if I'm honest.
You're a good old capitalist, Oscar. We love to see that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And to grow your community every season and have more and more people from around the globe tune in, I have to imagine that it'd be very rewarding. So it's great to see your channel continue to grow and to grace your presence on a humble podcast like this one. So we're looking forward to diving deeper and talking all things Double Game Week 28 with you.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we should. Let's end the glow up of Oscar. I'm sure he hears it enough. Right now, Black Wolf is the best manager on this podcast. No offense, Vocal. So
no,
I'm going to give credit to your patriot of Britain, your co-patriot, excuse me, of Britain. Let's dive into the Game Week 27 quick recap. And from there, we could also just discuss how our seasons are going thus far. Brian, you are in the mud, but you were soaring in Game Week 27. You're the leader in the scoreboard. So start us off.
I don't like to start these things off because I'm having an abysmal season, but I did have a pretty solid game week 27 with 83 points and had a few differentials come through for me this week, one of them being Odegaard. And I'm kind of disappointed that he didn't get more points, to be honest, because in that Arsenal rout of Chef U, which is why I brought him in the week prior, just the kind of lack of defense from a couple of their opponents, I was really hoping for maybe 15 points, but I'll take a 10 pointer, especially since a lot of managers have double defense. So good to get a slight edge there in my team. And then the little 4.0 Connor Bradley coming in with an 8 pointer. You love to see it. So a few differentials leading my side. I think everybody kind of went for captaincy on Erling after that 5-goal performance midweek. So didn't gain any ground there. I would have possibly captain Saka, as I think Bucks and I had talked about on last week's episode. There's only 2 points in the end. And if you're a Saka captainer this week, very unfortunate because he is definitely somebody who could have gotten a goal in the second half, bonus, etc. And so he only ends up on 7 points. I think my big rigmarole this week, I ended up moving Darwin to Solanke because after all the reports, I was very confident that he was going to play and that Burnley fixture is just too good to pass up. And Darwin was really looking for a bench appearance. And lo and behold, Darwin does what Darwin always seems to find himself doing. He scores in the 99th minute and gets more points than Solanke. But it is what it is. And 83 points, Green Arrow. Can't complain.
That was one of those cases where you get a leak, you know, on someone's bench and you think, oh, here we go. This is my edge. I'm going to sell him. And then, of course, Darwin scores off the bench and Solanke blanks. Peak FPL.
Yeah. And total peak. My other move that I was looking at was going to be bringing in Barney for cash, and that would have netted me, you know, more points in the end, maybe another 10 points total. So that's a bit unfortunate, but it's just so boring to have your one transfer be bringing in a defender who has 0.00 XG on the season. Like, I just couldn't bring myself to do it before the double. And I guess at least I swerved the Senesi problem, and I'll be able to bring Barney Man in this week. But yeah, that's me for this week. Let's jump to the next man on the totem pole, Black Wolf. He outscored me, but he did take a hit. So I'm on the top of the totem here. How'd you do, Dan?
Yeah, so I got 86, but 82 with the minus four. I'm kind of pissed off at Trippier because I figured Newcastle keeping a clean sheet against my Wolves team, at least I'll get a Trippier clean sheet. And then he goes off injured on, 52, 53 minutes for the one-pointer. And if he stayed on, I've no doubt he would have got 7 or 8 points with the bonus, and that probably would have taken me into the top 5K. So that's kind of annoying, but still, I have to be happy with my score and my rank. There was a lot of eyebrows raised when I made my transfer this week because I took out Douglas Luiz and I brought in Son because I decided to commit to free hit 29 and Son outscored him, so that went well. I also brought in Zabani of Bournemouth as part of that two transfers so that I have him for next week. So I think it went really well. Areola, the star of the show, though, 13 points from him.
UMF. I cannot believe this is a crazy week of goalkeeper clean sheets. Like, we haven't had any weeks like this the whole season, and every single kind of popular goalkeeper delivered this week. Insane. But I think for those who started Dubravka over Areola, 6 points you'll never get back. It's been a bit of a tough one. Even when Newcastle gets a rare clean sheet, he still gets outdone by a goalkeeper who gives up a clean sheet. Unbelievable. Saves the pen.
Yeah, what's crazy as well, he was 4 mil when he started the season. Now he's the top scoring goalkeeper. Absolutely insane.
Crazy. But yeah, my strategy of not putting in too many players when Wolves play has been really good for me the last couple of weeks. I didn't put in Hwang Ki-chan. I went with Douglas Luiz instead.
Oh.
And then I didn't play Dubravka. I played Areola instead. So it's netted me about 20 points doing that. So I'm happy.
Yeah, you're dodging all the bullets there. Like Neo in the Matrix.
Exactly.
We're going to call you Fraud Wolf, despite your amazing FPL rank. My two co-hosts, when did you guys become such greedy fucks? You guys are top of the totem pole. You're big scores, big green arrows. Oh, it's not enough. I'm counting these points that were stolen from me at the last minute. What happened here? You guys were the pragmatic side of the podcast, and I'm the crazy one. I'm so confused now.
Well, let's go to your crazy team and see how you did. You weren't far behind us, though, so break it down for us, Bucks, because you're still at a very respectable rank.
Yeah, 78 points. I swerved the Sun move for a hit. I know Dan, me and you were chatting on that, and then Brian, me and you were chatting on that. I just felt I wanted to see him score first, and God, I kind of was lucky that he only scored one goal. He had so many chances, and Spurs were wasteful. The fact that they scored three goals and missed so many golden chances just shows how high level of an FPL player Son is. I think he's almost a must get. He's one of the top three FPL assets in the game at his price. So I got a little lucky there. 78 points, small red arrow. I was too shy of getting a gray dot or a green arrow, but I'm inside the top 15K, so no complaints. I wish Dan told me to swerve Wolves in a more direct way because I started Riyad, Roberta, Ryan, Roger, 8, Nori, whatever his goddamn name is. He didn't get me any points this game week. He ends up on a fat donut. That one stung a little bit, but can't complain. I'm having a great season. Blank game weeks. It's about to get to be Bucks Wild season in the FPL calendar, so there's going to be hits, and it's going to get extra sloppy and messy. I love it. So on to you, Vocal. How'd you do in game week 27?
Yeah, not even podium for me this week. So I'm looking at you three on the podium and applaud that. Yeah, I did okay. 74 with a minus four. So it was a red arrow. So I'm down to about 100K now. Like you mentioned, Dubravka and Areola earlier, those were difference makers, really. I had Ederson. So of course, he conceded that screamer from Rashford. And it was just the wrong week to not have a keeper clean sheet, you know, because most people have got one of those two budget keepers. But I made a bad transfer, really the worst transfer I'd probably made all season. And it was really like one I was weighing up, which was Foden to some. And in hindsight, it looks terrible. But I looked at the next few weeks. Obviously, there was that Palace game, and then it's Aston Villa. He's got Fulham in the blank and then Luton. Whereas I looked at Foden, who's got Liverpool next. He's got the blank and then Arsenal. And I just thought, who scores more over that run? Annoyingly, I didn't have a way to afford both. So I looked at the game week 30 in particular and thought I'm going to have to captain Son there because Arsenal and City play each other. So yeah, I made the move and it cost me points. So a red arrow there. Dubravka on the bench, of course. But yeah, all in all, I'm happy with how the season's going. 100k at the moment. I'm going to free hit in 29, and I've still got the bench boost and wildcard as well.
Local, what's your goal? I mean, you are a top manager. You've had a number of really impressive finishes in your FPL career. You're about 100K. You're doing well. I'm not saying you're not having a good season by any metric, but from your mouth, tell the listeners where you still expect to finish with the chips in hand. Give the listeners some sunshine. Let them know where they can dream of finishing just like you.
Yeah, one thing I quite like doing is so I'm sure everyone's seen it, but on live FPL, obviously you can check your live rank there, but you can see various rank tiers and how far away you are from those tiers. So for example, I'm bang on 100k right now. It says I'm 21 points behind 50k. I'm 58 behind top 10k, so it's still doable, but I'd have to have a very good run in for the rest of the season. I really would have to nail my chips. So I'll say top 10K. I mean, that's got to always be the goal, hasn't it? But I'd be happy with top 50K.
Thank you. Great shout out for one of the great partners of the engaged FPL community, livefpl.net, if you're not familiar. Let's talk about the average quickly. The average was pretty strong this game week, 63 points. I think maybe a lot of dead teams had Captain Holland and Areola as their keeper to juice that number up. But the manager of the game week really smashed all of us out of the water. In our podcast mini league, the Press Play Pod Premier Sheep, AU Ready, aka D Chin, who's also a active member in the hashtag FPL USA community, scored a whopping 92 points for a
Oh.
75K green arrow. He's right behind you, Focal. He's at 154K overall.
What a
So
week he's
he,
had. Wow.
yeah, and he has only one blank in his starting 11. I'm a little jealous, just a tad bit jealous.
Hey, I love to see a fellow Chin in the FPL USA community doing well. That's for sure, because I am doing very poorly. So maybe I can have a little manager swap with him and take over his rank one day.
Yeah, you guys need to do a Freaky Friday situation with your FPL teams or something.
Also, I'm pretty sure you pronounce it Premier Sheep. Is that a slip,
I'm
Bucks, or are you just throwing out the
just humbling
pasture,
our
or what?
listeners. We're all sheep that
Ah,
captained Holland in the end of the day.
that's
No,
true. That's true.
that's a good one. All right, let's take our first break. When we come back, let's break down the top news from Game Week 27 with our rewind segment.
All right, let's rewind to game week 27 and the weekend that was. Some really fun matches and a number of clean sheets, which was very surprising. So I think let's start with the top. This Liverpool, this season of destiny, is that what is going to happen here? I'm very curious to hear Focal's thoughts as an Arsenal fan, I believe, on who he thinks is going to win the Premier League. And actually, we have a few community questions for him later on. So that's just a quick tease. But man, Liverpool. They throw at the kids, the 17, 18-year-olds, and they just keep getting results. But you'd have to expect that this ragtag lineup is going to struggle versus a fully fit City squad on the weekend, right?
I just want to
Go
ask, did you see
on.
Klopp changing diapers on the touchline? Because I saw that in the game.
Yeah, fair play. Yeah, don't think you expected that with all these injuries. I struggle to see them beating City, but you never know. Maybe it'll depend on if Salah's back or not. But yeah, a lot of players injured. It sounds like quite a few aren't far away from returning. It sounds like maybe the first week after the break, we could have Alisson, Trent back, Jota a bit longer. But yeah, in terms of winning the league, that's got to be Arsenal, hasn't it? Surely. We can't let City walk it for a fourth time in a row. I mean, we've got players coming back as well, Arsenal ourselves. You know, Partey back for the first time in a long time last match. So yeah, we'll have to see, but I'd love us to do it.
I don't like seeing Partey fit because I'm still honked off like a goose about Gabriel getting benched in the first couple of game weeks. I
Oh,
feel like I'm owed some clean sheet points because this Partey
yeah.
right back nonsense, inverting, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I mean, Liverpool, this Darwin comes off the bench, gets the winner. It was a little bit of a scene, I would say, because there was possibly a foul leading up to that, but they get the destiny on their side. And I don't know. I think for us as owners of Liverpool assets, It's an interesting time because none of us own Salah. Some people own VVD. Those guys are expensive at the moment. I don't think there's too many Luis Diaz owners, but there's going to be a shakeup in FPL coming because when you think about game week 30 versus Brighton, game week 31, I believe, versus Chef U for Liverpool, I mean, you got to have Salah, right? So I'm already looking ahead using FPL.team to plan to make sure I have the funds to upgrade one of my mids to get Salah back in because he's going to be red hot and ready to go.
Yeah, I was about to ask exactly that. If any of you had plans for Salah, and I've been doing the same. I've been tinkering. It'll probably be game week 31 for me. I'd love to have him game week 30 because he's got Brighton home. But yeah, Sheffield United home. There's no way I'm going into that one without Salah. So yeah, I'm already planning a way back to him. What about you guys?
Yeah, I've been planning Salah too, and it might have to be game week 31 for me as well. And it's likely going to have to be Trippier or Watkins that make way. So I'm a little
Yeah.
nervous about that, but I feel like game week 31 is probably a good time to get off Watkins and bring in Salah.
Yeah, I'm looking at Munez as a potential enabler,
Me
but
too.
yeah, I think it's got, yeah, I think it has to be Watkins, annoyingly, but yeah, I think he's got City in 31 or 30, so yeah, it could work. That's my loose plan at the moment, but yeah, he's smashing it.
Interesting
Yeah.
to hear you guys talk about moving on from Watkins. You know, I think a lot of us are set up in a 3-4-3 at the moment, given the strikers that are all firing. So you would hold on to somebody like Solanke instead of Watkins, given the fixtures, even though Watkins' open play form is scintillating.
Yeah, I mean, we can get more into this later, but after game week 30, if you're someone who's free hitting 29 and possibly saving your wild card till later on, you're going to have to start targeting the double game week 34 players from game week 30. So the likes of Newcastle and Manchester United, I don't think Aston Villa are going to double. So, and yet Solanke might. So I think Watkins out before Solanke makes sense. And then you have the likes of Højlund or Isak who you can start thinking of bringing in. I just don't think it makes sense to keep Watkins. I know it's a risk because of how good he's been, consistently returning points, and I think his ownership will stay quite high. But if you're looking to target those extra fixtures, he's not going to stay in your squad.
I mean, Mr.
Yeah,
Clean, Dan, I'm very surprised to hear you
look.
already planning to go
Yeah.
against Watkins. You're the one who's usually very much scared of not owning a highly EO player in your side.
Yeah, but plus the fixtures get pretty rough and tumble after game week 33 specifically. I know they play City, but the fixtures aren't great for Villa and they are on the ascension for other teams. I would much rather have Arsenal players than Watkins. And I want to have Salah. I mentioned my love for Heung-Min Sung. Brian, you're a confessed lover of the South Korean man. He's your favorite
I
player in the
cheated
Premier
on
League.
him this week. I cheated on him with one more week of
We
KDB,
don't
and
talk about that. Shh.
I got punished. I got punished like I should. Whips
And
and
so
chains
I
be
just think
damned.
we're gonna need funds. This was the season we came into being like the players were all priced incorrectly. Fast forward to today, it looks like pricing really nailed it this season. There's a lot of dynamic players across lots of squads. I looked at Live FPL and it said my team is one in a million. I don't have a single clone of my team in the top million accounts. So I think there's a lot of points to be had from a lot of different players and makes it exciting. I think this is one of the more fun seasons we've had in recent memory.
You say that. I do think this season there's been a lot of enablers. Like it's very rare that you get two decent 4 mil keepers that play. Obviously, we've had Douglas Luiz and Gordon, 5.5 mil they started at, and then Palmer as well started at 5 mil. So yeah, it feels like right now there is a bit of a template, but I think it's going to start breaking up, especially because we've got 29 coming, where people are kind of diverging on chip strategy. Some free hitting, some aren't. Some are wild carding in 31, some are saving it for 35. So yeah, I think there has been a lot of budget players, but I do think also the template's starting to diverge, which is an exciting part of the season, I think.
Amen. Oscar, just want to know to rub salt in the wound. Did you skip the Wolves players on purpose or was
No,
that just an accident?
I didn't skip though. I picked up Fang for that Sheffield United game. Yeah, that
Well,
was
they've
a
been
disaster
banging it in.
transfer.
Those four guys in attack. Cunha is over 100 points and so is Wang. That blew my mind. They
Yeah.
Wolves have 200 point FPL scores at this point in the season. Wild season it is.
Peak FPL that one, isn't it? Because a lot of people were targeting that Sheffield United fixture, whereas the players that actually had a game in 29, Douglas Luiz, Bailey and Bowen, wasn't it? That all smashed it. So Yeah, again, peak FPL that one. But yeah, those that were looking to not pre-hit 29 and went for those players did well.
And then there was lucky fuckers like me who had Douglas Luiz and Bowen and no Wolves
Oh, you had
players that
Bowen.
week. I did add Bowen and Douglas Luiz. So
Mate, Dan had 86 points last week. He absolutely had a blinder of a game week. I think
Well, more than in the double game week.
I had 47 points last week, and Dan had nearly 40 more points than me. Absolutely insane. So, hats off to Dan once again. But I think just going back to the pricing, it's made it just a very interesting challenge for managers because you are taking out one really good pick for another good pick, right? There's so many players that maybe this week move Foden to Son, and you're punished. I mean, Foden again is in just peak form, and he's man, what a blinder for him. Let's transition to the Manchester Derby, where Manchester stays blue yet again in a 3-1 victory. And I put some entertainment purpose coins down on Manchester City to win by more than 1.5 goals. And when Rashford hit that screamer, I was like, oh man, I might not have lunch money for this week. So what did you guys see in this one? And then ultimately, it's all about Foden, isn't it?
That chance missed by Haaland, that first chance. Oh my God. After that happened from a Foden
Oh.
assist, I thought we're in for another week of Haaland doing fuck all and giving us no points.
I mean, to be honest though, like Haaland's just so fucking big. He's like what, 6'5"? I feel like if he was like 6 foot more compact, that shot might actually went off of his like the right part of his leg. He's
He
just
could
like
have
so tall, and it was just such a weird like play for him. I mean,
Knocked that in with his dick and it would have went in the goal. All he had to do was just move his body. That's all he
Just
had
go with the
to
thrust, the power thrust into the goal. Yeah, I hear you there. I mean, the Haaland situation is it's just so funny because he's basically gets lucky and gets a gift of a goal at the end of the match. But then on the other hand, he's still in the right positions and he could have easily had 13 points and doubled for 26 points if he puts that first chance in. So he's just inevitable though, even though a lot of people might want to remove him from their team this week. And I think that's a great question for Focal. Like, if you are not free hitting in game week 29, would you take out Haaland this week, who plays Liverpool and then plays blanks and then plays Arsenal in game week 30 for somebody like Morris and to have Morris doubled up with Solanke? So curious on your thoughts there.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are doing that. It does make sense because you've got two fixtures from Morris this week, plus you've got the game in 29. So it's three fixtures versus one. But yeah, it's Haaland, isn't it? So you never know. Like Haaland could still outscore him in one game. But yeah, if that's your chip strategy, I think it makes a lot of sense to sell him for Morris. But I was just going to say as well on Foden, obviously I was saying earlier I sold Foden for Son. And this is where effective ownership's kind of it can take enjoyment away from the game a bit because it would have been a Foden assist, that Haaland sitter that he missed. So for me, I was actually like, oh, thank God for that. Because Haaland's effective ownership was almost no rank improvement, whereas Foden's was massive. So yeah, you guys are probably like, oh, how has he missed that? But I was thinking, thank God he's missed that.
That's fair. You know what was interesting in this game? I just think the Phil Foden playing central is such a hack. He might be the best young player that's going completely under the radar because all the other guys on his team are getting such plaudits. I mean, KDB is called one of the best midfielders the Premier League's ever seen. Haaland's going on back-to-back golden boots in his first 2 years in the Premier League. He's rewriting all the records. But Foden is quietly the one carrying them this season. Between him and Rodri, it's not Kevin and Erling, it's Phil and Rodri who are the two most important players for Man City. And quietly, I think we should talk about some of these DMs that are just falling into points each and every game week because Rodri, Declan Rice on your team, Oscar, who we're going to talk about, we said Douglas Luiz earlier. I mean, those three guys don't play traditional FPL seasons and are just doing work for FPL managers left, right, and center. It's a theme. It's a theme of the season.
It's good to
Yeah.
identify those players, like you said, Bucks. It's just so hard when you have so many attacking midfielders. It's just like that block in our minds that you don't want to bring in a Dougie Luiz or a Rodri for even a double game week. If there's just so many other attacking assets from a midfield slot perspective that you kind of just look over. But macro, I think that's a good takeaway heading into next season. Just some of these, possible fringe players that are your fifth midfielder that you rotate in and out potentially. I think the pricing was very kind that you could have a deep squad, but I haven't really focused on a lot of rotation this season just because the times that I have, I got burned. I took Palmer out, 18 pointer, first bench slot, never came in. And since then, I'm like, nope, I'm just going to spend all my money, have a strong starting 11 because it was painful. I couldn't sleep after that, that happened.
Before we leave the Manchester Derby, I just want to ask you, Oscar, do you have a plan to get Phil Foden back, or is he kind of out of your team and you'll reassess later on in the season?
Yeah, I've made my bed there, so I'm going to line it. I mean, he does have Liverpool next. He's got Arsenal 30, so for now he's out. If City have a double later in the season, which I believe they will, he'll come back in at some point. But yeah, for now it's no Foden. There's just no room for him. I've got Saka, Palmer, Gordon, and Son, and obviously I want to replace Wang with Salah in a few weeks' time. So I feel like that's going to be the perfect midfield, perhaps. So yeah, for now no Foden. But I was just going to say as well on those defensive mids, like yeah, we never look at them. Like Rice and Rodri, no one looks at them really. But they're doing well. Like they've both got more points than Richarlison and Hwang, who we just talked about. Jota, for example. I'd love to see them add a defensive mid position. I don't know if they'll ever do this, but if they had a defensive mid position where you get points for things like recoveries, every three tackles you get plus 1 point, something like that, 2 points for a
Yeah,
clean
like in
sheet. That could be a nice way.
UCL in Champions League fantasy, they
Right.
have it.
Right.
I mean, they can even keep it simple and give defensive midfielders an extra point for a goal or an extra point for an assist or something if they don't want to make it too complicated. But I feel like that needs to happen, especially like you said, after seeing this season, players like Rodri going completely under the radar. I call him out every single game week and yet double game week, sorry, and I never put him in. And I've committed myself to the double
You
game week at the end of the
promise.
season to put Rodri in the team. I'm going to do it. Just one final
That's
point
where it's
about
all going to go to
Foden.
shit for you, Dan.
I know. One final point about Foden. I feel like Hwang getting injured saved a lot of managers because I think more people would have done that Foden to Son move if they didn't have to worry about that Hwang injury. So, Oscar, I feel like you're unlucky as one of the fewer people that did that because I think we would have seen a lot more people do that.
Yeah, that's true. That's the way FPL goes out. I knew the risk going
Yeah.
into that move.
Yeah.
It was a tough call, but yeah, we'll see how the next few weeks go. Hopefully, Son can recover some points lost there.
You will.
All right, let's quickly talk about Arsenal absolutely blowing the doors off of the Blades. Man, this Chef U team, they fucking suck. It was a no-show, and I mean, I felt so bad for one of their players gets pulled off in the 14th minute. The fans are leaving the stadium, but like, what did you expect? They're facing an Arsenal team that scored 1,000 goals in the last 6 game weeks, and you're one of the worst teams in the Premier League, so. What did you guys see in this one? And were you surprised that there weren't any 20-point scores because the goals were so spread out?
I mean, they are quite possibly the worst team I have ever seen in the Premier League. They're just absolutely awful. They don't look like a Premier League side. They don't even look like a Championship side. I don't know what's happened to them. I mean, yes, Arsenal are incredible. Arsenal probably could have won that game 4-5, 6-0 anyway. But Sheffield United offer absolutely nothing. I mean, what more do we talk about here? They're just relegate them already, seriously. Oscar, what about you?
Yeah, well, somehow it was. Yeah, it went exactly as expected, really. We thought it'd be a comfortable Arsenal win. At half time, I was thinking, like, are we going to see a Premier League record here? Because we've seen 9-0 a few times, but yeah, it slowed down the second half. Obviously, made a few changes. Like we've mentioned Saka's substitution earlier. But yeah, the points were spread around. Saka captain is really unlucky there. I'd be fuming if I went with Saka captain and obviously he's off at half time, but at least he got a couple of assists and beat Haaland by 1 point.
I was shocked to see him actually get rested. Arteta runs him into the ground. So I'm curious, Focal, for you as an Arsenal fan, like this guy plays 90 minutes way too many times for Arsenal. So in a way, it's probably good to get him some rest, but hits the crossbar in the opening minutes, could have easily ended up on 15 plus points. So yeah, what's your read here on Arteta actually giving this man some rest?
Yeah, easily could have had more. Hit the bar so early. And yeah, I captained Haaland. So again, that was like, oh, thank God. Apparently it was illness. That was why he actually came off at halftime. It wasn't a rest. He probably would have come off early, like anyway, maybe like 60 minutes. But yeah, it was Vieira that came on for him. But this week as well, people were asking which Arsenal defenders. Not even this week, really, throughout the season. And I've said Gabriel and Saliba. But of course, White puts up the 13-pointer, the goal, the clean sheet, bonus. Martinelli did well. He came off injured as well, but That was just like a contact injury. Apparently, he's okay as well.
Can't forget about Kiwi. This guy comes into the side. I mean, he's really shored up their defense. Obviously, they have their XG across the whole season is absolutely insane. It's about 19 through this far in the season, whereas the second highest defense is Manchester City with about 25 expected goals conceded. I mean, just an insane gap between those two. So the double up in defense has gone really well for a lot of teams. But now Arsenal's dropping 5 goals a game. So that's why I kind of swerved and went for the attacker in Odegaard, who was very fortunate because he only had one return, but he gets the opening goal and had a lot of passes. So he ends up on 2 bonus. So I was happy to have him. But Bucks, I know you have something to say about your boy Kai, an ex-Chelsea legend, only because he helped us win the
Champions
League.
I'm such an idiot.
League.
I've been saying how good he's playing, and I keep skipping him for other guys. And I went Cole Palmer. I wanted to try it on for size. I haven't had him all season, and I'm a diehard Chelsea fan. But Kai Havertz is the truth, and Arteta has really unlocked him. I think this is like his 4th game in 5 starts where he has a goal and an assist and some share of the bonus. So he gets 14 points. He's one of the top scorers behind Phil Foden in this game week. And I think we're all a little biased. We're like drunk from his days at Chelsea and how inept he was, because he's really looked incredible. He's looked like one of the best players, not just in FPL, but in the Premier League since the start of the 2024 season. He's been that good. And to give Arsenal credit, God, this is going to hurt so bad to say. they're by far the best defense, and they are by far the best attack in the Premier League right now. And they have been since the year turned over. And it's not a small sample size. I think it's been 8 games now, 9 games. They're the truth. And to continue going Haaland captain over these Arsenal players is going to look sillier and sillier, I think, as well as Arsenal are playing.
Yeah, I mean, the Havertz transfer, it's finally starting to look like it was, you know, not a bad piece of business. He got a lot of stick when he first joined us. But yeah, over the last 5 game weeks, Saka's got the most points, then Watkins, then Foden, only 2 points separating those 3. And then it's Havertz. And then it's Munoz, who we mentioned earlier, the 4.5 mil mid, 42 points over the last 5. But yeah, it's good to see Havertz doing well. I'm not even sure if Jays is coming straight back in the team, you know, in current form. Like, I think Havertz deserves to keep playing.
Oscar, are you making a play to be Muniz's agent for the upcoming transfer window? You love this guy.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't talk about him too much, or it'll be 4.7 mil by next game week. But yeah, it's him or Semenyo. Like, we've got a nice couple of budget forwards there.
We're going to discuss Semenyo a little bit later as the double game week focus comes into that part of the podcast. Lastly, let's just quickly again highlight Ollie Watkins. This man is on fire. He continues to be a great bargain for FPL managers, and it pains me not to have owned him this whole season and having dropped him for Darwin a few times and gone back and forth with that just bleep show of a transfer saga. So you have to expect the rest of this team to keep on putting up goals and giving up goals. So this weekend's matchup is a really key focus for the run-in for Champions League qualification, with Tottenham playing the lads of the Villains. So are you guys expecting Watkins to maybe be a captaincy shout this week? I think captaincy is wide open. So just curious on your thoughts on Watkins as a truly elite asset, even though he's not on pens.
I mean, I'll jump in terms of captaincy. If it wasn't a double game week, but I think pretty much everyone's going to be going for Solanke, unless there's any news over the course of the week, you know, that indicates that knee's still causing him trouble. So I think most people will be on Solanke, but I just think that this week it doesn't make much sense to go against a double gimmick player. But yeah, if there's Solanke news and this knee's causing some issues, then yes, where do you go in terms of the single gamemakers? Or do you go for someone like, you know, Neto or Barkley, which feels a bit wrong?
Focal, I want to throw a spanner into the mix. I was just reading on X in the FPL community that there was a stat saying that Bournemouth have the worst XG in their home games of all the Premier League teams, and they have the worst, they have the least home goals, and they have the least XG of all the Premier League teams at home. Does that change your feelings about just the easy peasy, let's slap the armband on Solanke and kind of move on? Or are you're sold, you're solid on that call?
Yeah. So did you say lowest XG in home games? That can't be right. Is that what they're saying?
You're saying the internet isn't all filled with truth and lots of nuggets.
I'm looking on Scout, and there must be about 12 here for XG, 7.37 in home games, unless this is like recent form. But yeah, they've only scored 6 goals at home all season, which is really bad. But like Burnley and Sheffield United have got 3 in the home games this season. So yeah, they are pretty mid-table in terms of home fixtures. But
all right, you see, I believe everything I read on the internet.
Oh, you know what?
That's how I ended up on this podcast.
I'm looking at the table, and they have scored 12 goals at home, which is the least out of anyone else in the Premier League, tied with Everton. So
I'm saying 13. I've just refreshed it, which is still really bad. But yeah, Sheffield United have got one less.
Still, this is
that's brutal.
I
feel like we've been saying Bournemouth have been like one of the surprise teams of the season. So that's shocking to me.
I mean, they haven't played against Sheffield United or Luton at home, so maybe that's why it's so low.
I was going to say
that's
that
a
same
fair
thing.
Point. That's a fair point. But you know, by the devil's advocate perspective, you know, Neto hasn't had a chance to go up against either of those teams as a goalie to just you know mop up the save points and bonus with that clean sheet. So I don't know. I don't think it's so quite cut and dry as like, you know, 100% is going to be on Solanke. I know, Brian, you shouted out that you were locked in on Neto captain for this game week. And I actually have been testing that out, trying it on for size. It feels quite nice.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a guy who's captain Pope and captain David De Gea in past double game weeks that are smaller in nature when there's not a clear-cut attacking threat. So, I mean, if Solanke's knee is bothering him at all and we get reports on that, easy auto slap for me on Neto, I think. And Bucks, you have him in place. It's not a sexy captaincy per se, but it is one that you expect the floor to be pretty high. I would expect them to probably clean Chef U and then maybe concede to Luton, but you're looking at 8 plus points, I think, in this game week for somebody like Neto. And he's shown that if he gets a number of saves, he can get into the bonus points like he did this past week. I think he had 8 points for you, Bucks. So that's solid as a backup, you know, vice captaincy. But I think, you know, if you're looking to have fun, how do you not captain Solanke?
I'm going back to my normal style of play here, but his effective ownership alone is enough to make me captain him. There's no way I want to go into a double game week with Bournemouth at home to Luton and Sheffield United and not captain a player who is probably going to be possibly over 200% owned. I'm just not doing it, especially at my rank.
Shield of Black Wolf is strong these days, isn't it? All right, I think it's full on time for us to transition. Let's fast forward and bring double game week 28 into focus. Just so the listeners know, if you don't know already, if you're living under a rock or you don't follow Focal or this amazing podcast, Bournemouth and Luton play twice. And the whole community is excited about it. It's strange days here in the FPL game. And the Cherries have by far the better fixtures. They play Chef U, who stink, and Luton, who also might stink at home. And then Luton play Crystal Palace and Bournemouth both away in the double game week, but they have the added benefit for planning of also playing in blank game week 29. So let's first throw to our guest, Oscar, what's the optimal number of players to have from Bournemouth and then also from Luton?
I mean, I've only going to have 3. I'll be on triple Bournemouth, and I think that's perfectly fine. Like, there is potential for this double game week to be a bit of a trap, which we've seen before. You know, a lot of people have got Doughty. Luton haven't kept a clean sheet away all season, so I think 3's okay. I'm happy enough with 3. I'll probably be on double Bournemouth defence myself and Solanke, of course. Yeah, if you've got room or scope to add more than that, especially if you're not free hitting 29, then obviously, like we said earlier, there's the option to do Haaland to Morris. That works. You could sell Huang to Barkley. That kind of move works. It's all team dependent, but I think 3's okay.
And would that be for a hit, or are you? I think that's an interesting position for a lot of managers to have maybe Solanke in place and then. Am I taking a hit to bring in Neto or Barney? Like, what is your thought process there?
Did you call him Barney?
Yeah. I'm not calling him by his real name. No, no, no. I'm
Okay.
talking about the defender.
Zabarni.
I thought you said
Yeah.
Barney.
I did.
Yeah,
I
no. Yeah, and I'm looking at Zabarni. Yeah, so Zabarni probably coming in for a Stupinian, who's obviously been shocking recently. And then probably Ederson to Neto. So those would be my two moves. And yeah, it'd be a minus four hit as well. And hopefully Bournemouth get that double in game week 34 that we talked about. There's a chance it goes to 37. It's going to depend on what happens, I think, in terms of Brighton versus Roma in Europa League. I think that's what it boils down to. So we'll have to see what happens. But of course, that adds to the appeal as well of tripling up on Bournemouth this week. So that's what I'm planning.
I mean, I think it all depends on your chip strategy, right? If you're wildcarding 28, which a lot of people are, I think five or six of these assets you're gonna have to have in your squad. If you're free hitting 29, I think you should focus on Bournemouth as priority because they have a good fixture in 30 and going forward. If you're someone that's wildcarding in 30, 31 and avoiding the free hit, then focusing on Luton probably makes sense. If you can take out Haaland for someone like Morris, because then you can wildcard Haaland straight back in 30 and 31. So I think it
Yeah,
depends on your chip strategy.
100%. Yeah, it's that part of the season where we have to caveat, like, it's team dependent. Yeah, if you're not free hitting 29, then it makes sense to pile in on Luton, even if their prospects might be kind of low this week. It just makes sense. But yeah, I'm planning to free hit 29, so I've got the benefit of being able to go all in on Bournemouth despite the blank.
Well, we should say that Bournemouth had the best run of fixtures according to the FDR, the fixture difficulty rating on multiple sites, both on the FPL homepage, on Scout, and on Hub. They're rated top. They have a sea of plush green meadows to run into for their attacking players and for their defenders. So it's interesting because I did fall into an early wild card and I got trapped with double Luton. And yeah, I should have known because they are the quintessential like Watford double game week trap team because you get all hyped, you waste moves, you minus four here, take a move there, and all of a sudden you realize you have two guys on a team that kind of stink on your FPL team and you're backing them in a big way. So I agree with you. I think Bournemouth are the team we need to really have in the spotlight, and Luton are more for enablement purposes. What say you to that, Brian?
Look, Bucks, I'll come to your defense. I know you brought in Adebayo on your wild card, and that was just very unlucky
Fuck that
because
guy. Oh, fuck him.
if you
I
would have
hate
if
him.
you would have brought in Morris, you would have gotten points in last game week. You would have him in place as the penalty kick taker for the double game week. So just a bit of unlucky injury reports there, and think that his ceiling we've seen is hat-trick potential, and that's why you went with him over Morris, and he's going to be your cheap last kind of attacker. So a bit unlucky for you there, but it's such a weird double game week in the sense that the whole community is very optimistic, even maybe more optimistic than we were when we had rotation between Liverpool and City, and that kind of played out as an absolute bleep show. So the community is optimistic, but when you look at these assets, there's a clear ranking of three assets from both teams, I think. And it's one where, if you don't have a triple up on Arsenal, I don't know if the priority transfer should be bringing in Zabarni or bringing in Doughty. Like, I think it's probably bringing in a third Arsenal player who has a high ceiling in one game week as one of those players does in a double. So curious, hear your thoughts there, Focal, for managers who might not be on the triple up on the team with the best form right now in the Gunners.
I suppose it depends on which Arsenal players. Like, if you haven't got Saka, then yeah, I would consider prioritizing that. I'd rather this week go for a Bournemouth defender, I think, than someone like Gabriel Saliba. They got Brentford at home, so still good clean sheet potential there. I was going to ask though, have any of you still got your triple captain, or did you all use yours?
We
Nah,
all
all
used
using
on
your. T you're
Haaland.
talking to
three sheep from the
Yeah,
USA.
I used it as well. But I mean,
I
I was going to
liked it.
ask. So
I'm happy with my return. Everyone's salty about it.
yeah.
I'm like, everybody did it. I got points. It wasn't a ton of
Yeah.
points, but 30 points, whatever. I've had Mane, I've had Sane,
Yeah.
three
Oh.
pointers, six pointers. So
Yeah.
like a 10 pointer, sure, that is epic. I've been
Yeah.
so scarred in the past.
But like, if you still had yours, would you use it on Solanke this week, or do you think you'd save it? I think that's a difficult decision.
Depends on your chip strategy, as Dan would say. If you're
I
going to bench
think
boost or free hit in 34 and
I'll
37,
get off
but
the fence. I think I'd save it because I think the combo of the injury that is still unknown. It's like lingering. And he didn't look all that sharp against Burnley, all things considered. And then this data that I just read about Bournemouth's home form, that's got me with my pupil bumps. I'm goosebumping all over the place. If I had that triple captain, I would much rather save it to maybe go Salah in game week 37, where, you know, especially if you're a Liverpool fan, oh my God, inject that directly into your veins. If you are a Liverpool supporter, you want to be rooting for your guy. You want to be going for the title. And there's going to be tons of to play with one of the best FPL players. It's the easy move today because it's right in front of us and he has the fixtures. But I just feel like Bournemouth's form have kind of dropped off at least a half a level from where they were 3-4 weeks ago.
I mean, I gotta rib you a little bit here, Bucks. You're so far forward thinking, where previously a couple game weeks ago you wild card in game week 25. So I think it's interesting to see you've learned very quickly from your quick fire nature.
No, I have no regrets, actually. I think it was the right move for my team. I had like six flags. I didn't love where I was at. I had Sterling for half this season. I'm still inside the top 15K. So things are going right in general for my team. So I can't get greedy. I'm not going to be like you two bastards and just say that all the points need to come just to my team and no one else's. I'm okay with that. Focal, I think I cut you off. You looked like you were ready to say something. Maybe come to my defense, maybe further bury me. I don't know.
It was something really, I can't remember what it was now. I feel like I had something really inspiring to say, but it's completely left me now.
It'll come back. It'll come back to you.
I tend to ruin those moments for people. Let's go to the top matches to target for FPL hauls. We've been singing their praises. That's the Cherries of Bournemouth. I think that's the clear winner. They play Chef U. Chef the fuck out of the Premier League for all of our watching sakes. And then they play Luton at home. But then we should go to your team. Focal, what's the prediction? Brentford at Arsenal. It is a London derby, but these teams are going very much in opposite directions.
Yeah, Brentford could be a bit of a bogey team. Like, they can upset anyone. But yeah, I'll have to back us here. We'll be top of the clean sheet odds, I imagine, as well. Thereabouts. Yeah, except the combined odds for Bournemouth. Yeah, I'll back us to win that one. I'll go 3-0. I mean, Brentford are a bit unlucky. They've had lots of injuries. I know Mbeumo actually has been seen back in training, but I'm not sure if he'll be back next game or even before the international break. Obviously, they've got me injured now and a few other injuries. So, yeah, I'd back us to beat them. I'll go 3-0 Arsenal.
Ooh, I like it.
Only three.
Dan, what say you?
Only
you got
three
a prediction
goals
there?
Yeah, they're all going to organise defence, aren't they, Brentford? So maybe not so much recently, but yeah, I'll go 3.
I think 3-1. I think that's a little bit more plucky. And Tony might finally reward his owners. And we'll forget about this Mape fraud who's been trolling managers for a couple game weeks now.
Yeah, I would agree. I was going to say 3-1 as well. I think this might be the game that Tony gets a goal.
It's not what I want to hear as a double Arsenal defence owner.
Well, I'm tired of them getting free clean sheets when I don't own them. So,
yeah, Dan, you've been going into your Arsenal watching experience each game week just hoping that Gabriel does not keep a clean sheet, because at your rank, there are so many managers who have double Arsenal defence. So it's such a weird, especially like yesterday as the last game of the game week, to be like, I wouldn't mind if this is 6-1 if they knock that out at the end.
I've just got PTSD. I remember last season I went to Arsenal versus Bournemouth at the Emirates, and I got to my seat. I was like, I've got double Arsenal defense, here we go, like, let's do this, this is going to be a great game. And Arsenal conceded about 10 seconds into the game, and Bournemouth went on to score a second. It's painful enough, like, you know, watching your team concede in seconds, let alone when you know you've got double Arsenal defense, that I've just had two clean sheets wiped instantly.
Speaking of clean sheets, Dan didn't have these when Bowen had his hat trick. So let's talk about the West Ham lad. Burnley traveled to the London Stadium for what we think could be a thrashing. Dan, how many points is your guy, Jarrod, going to score for you?
Yeah, so I kept him through all of his shit performances and all of his 2 points. And now that Pacatar is back, he's back to being the elite asset that he was previously. And I'm actually feeling pretty good about it this week because a lot of people are focusing on bringing in double game week players. So I think Bowen is still going to be relatively lower owned. So I'm hoping he gets another couple of goals here at home to Burnley. I think they'll win 2-3-0.
Didn't Bowen chip in with a cheeky last minute assist in that match too? So he was on his way to another 2-pointer, but you have the golden touch right now. So glad to see him.
25 points over 2 weeks. 25 points over 2 weeks. Very happy with that.
Lap it up. Lap it up, you wolf. I think it's 3-0. I think Burnley, they're going under the radar just how bad they are, because Chef U and Luton and are a little more spectacular in how bad they are. But Burnley might suck also.
Might.
Yeah, they do suck. Ha 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 ha, Dan, I tricked you. They actually suck, and they definitely did not keep a clean sheet at home against Bournemouth last game. Duh.
I didn't say that I'd keep a clean sheet. I said that it won't be like 3-4-5-0, which you guys were thinking. And I said, Solanke, I don't think he's going to get like a hat trick here. I'm quite happy not to own him. And I was correct. So fuck you, Bucks.
It is true. Yeah, I reviewed the tapes.
But Burnley
I
suck.
The tapes.
Burnley suck. Take it back.
They
strike
do suck.
On the record.
They do
you
suck.
Know what? You know what, Bucks? I was thinking earlier when you were talking about how you're ready for Chef U to fuck off and get out of the Premier League. I don't know. I kind of like them in the Premier League. I love having them on the schedule to plan for and just be like, oh, this is an easy auto cap. Give me a couple cupcake fixtures every single week when you have three just relegated teams that we can pick on for captaincy, etc. So I don't mind this crappy team coming in and giving us betters a chance to make some Skrilla.
Ryan, I just want to let Dan and Oscar in behind the scenes of our friendship and the listeners too, because we go back a lot longer than our connection with these Brits do. That being said, Brian's the kind of guy who used to play video games against the Make-A-Wish community and beat them like 6-1 in FIFA. And he'd be laughing
right.
The whole time, like, ha, 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 ha. Or, you know, when he plays basketball, he makes sure to go against the guys that just got to the States. They never played basketball in their life. And he's like dunking on the 8-foot rim on them. That's what Brian's alluding to here. He likes the easy wins from time to time. Ain't that true, my pod partner?
I used to dunk on the 10-foot rims, without any defenders. So it is what it is.
All right, moving on. Sorry to catch you guys in the crossfire there. Let's go to the best matches in real life, because I think this could have banner weekend potential when it comes to the title race. I mentioned it before. Spurs at Aston Villa to kick off the Sunday viewing of the Premier League week. Who you got there? It's at Villa for context. Oscar, you're the guest. Start us out.
It's a difficult one to predict that, you know. I imagine both teams concede, and I actually wouldn't be surprised if it's a draw. Maybe 2-2. Yeah, something perhaps I didn't fully consider last week was obviously Richarlison's injury and the Werner effect. To be fair, he did score that game, but yeah, Son put a couple of chances through to him, especially that 1-on-1. I don't know if you guys saw the game or the highlights, but there was that 1-on-1, and I was like, yeah, this has got to be a Son assist. He's 1-on-1. So yeah, maybe that's a factor as well. But yeah, I think I'm going to go 2-2 for this one.
Did you see Richarlison's back in training? He just posted that.
Is it really?
Does that change your prediction?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be amazed if he makes the game. Like, I mean, I don't know what's going on there. Postecoglou said 3 to 4 weeks. So how is he back in training 3 to 4 days later? I mean, I'll be surprised if he makes the game, though. But yeah, that is frustrating if he is back in training, because he was the one I sold. I sold Richarlison for Palmer last week to fund Son. Unfortunately, I couldn't sell Huang. So yeah, I might not have done that if I'd known Richarlison was back in training so soon.
None of these managers tell the truth. They're all they all lie as part of their paycheck. It's there's no consequences. It's such a bizarre thing for us Americans.
Then you have to disclose injuries fully in NFL, for example, right? You can't lie or make stuff up. Yeah, I wish we had
NBA
that
too. There's big fines nowadays. It's been like ratified into the agreement with the Players Association. I just think that's something that has, as the league gets more commercialized, that has to become standard operating procedure for the Premier League. It's shambolic that it isn't already, honestly.
Yeah, the fines are like 25, 50K per infraction. So it adds up if you're Eddie Howe and you're lying every single game weekend. Fucking Gordon shows up in a boot the day before and then he's playing 90 minutes the day after. It's not fair to us FPL managers. So I want to see some sanctions being thrown down and some pennies going to some charities instead of all this lying and this debauchery.
Just to go all back right, to Richarlison, I'm looking at the news right now, and he got interviewed and he said, "Didn't you see the sprint I had when we scored? I'm already training. I think I will be ready for the game next Saturday." It's being shared all over social media right now.
That's crazy. But, really?
Yeah. I don't think he'll play him, though. I think he'll bench him, I would have thought.
Yeah, but
I
it
mean,
might screw up a couple managers who sold him and then are like, all right, I'm gonna free hit in 29 because I just sold a guy that has a fixture. So it's a little too late, so to speak, from our friend Richarlison, the pigeon man.
all right, self-indulgent part of the pod right now. I was thinking about hitting KDB out to get Sun this week because I've just come to the realization I should have done that last week, and now I'm like, all right, should I do it this week? But if he's going to play left wing instead of up top, would you take a -4 to move KDB out? I guess it depends on what happens versus Copenhagen. If he is fully rested, they're up 3-1, I believe, and are having the second leg, so KDB could get a full rest and then play midweek. But yeah, I'm just curious, Oscar. This is a -4 I'm weighing up again. Like I'm chasing, so I want the double digit potential of Sun. But now with this news, it's kind of putting me off a tiny bit.
Yeah, I think you're right. Probably wait for the Copenhagen game. Yeah, see what his involvement's like. It's difficult to sell him in any week, isn't it? Because at the back of your head, you always know KDB can go big in any game. So it's not an easy sell. But yeah, I think I'd just about do it from -4. Just about. If you're not free hitting 29. I don't know if I'd do it otherwise. I'm not so sure otherwise.
Yeah, that placeholder, in my ideal front line in attack, I'm going to have Salah, Haaland, and Son. And there's kind of my plans. I have a couple -4s in the next 3 weeks to make that reality. But it is an interesting one, as I think a lot of managers who are unhappy with Kevin, he did not look great versus Manchester United. He played the full minutes, but his crosses were just a little off. He had maybe one good curling effort, but a couple that just were field goals through the uprights. And I was expecting at least a 6 to 9 pointer versus Manchester United. So I guess we can discuss that, a little bit later.
Perfect transition, Brian, because we're going to talk about City at Liverpool next. You're a
Boom.
pro. We're all pros now, aren't we? They let anyone do a podcast these days. It's a beautiful thing. So, who's going to come out on top between the current leaders of the pack, Liverpool, who play at home, notably in front of the Anfield Magic, against the multi-time title winners, the title holders, the treble holders? I think this is a exceedingly exciting game for the neutral. And fortunately, all four of us are neutrals in this one. So, what's our prediction? I think this is actually going to be pretty cagey. 2-1 to City for me.
I'm going to go 4-1 to City with a brace from Haaland. I
Wow.
feel it in my bones.
Wowza.
Yeah.
Does that mean you're going to captain Haaland then?
No, Solanke.
Oh my goodness. This mother bleeper.
I'll go 3-1, I think. 3-1 to City. I just think Liverpool have got so many players out. They've still got Alisson out, Jota, Trent. We don't know if Salah will be back. Gravenberch might make the game. So, yeah, I think City win. And I think maybe they'll go 2-1 up and get a late win, or a lot of late winner, a late goal 3-1.
If you're a Liverpool supporter, a draw here would be absolute gold, given the
And if you're an Arsenal
status.
supporter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, huge. That's a good point
Amen.
as well. So maybe they'll find some magic, but I think City should pull this one out. But I'm hoping for an open game. I feel like Liverpool versus City is usually open and there are goals to be had. Whereas when you have Manchester City versus Arsenal, it's a little bit cagier and a little bit more focus on defense and especially the battle in the midfield. So with the state of Liverpool and their midfield, yeah, I think an open game 3-1 to City is what I would call.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at their recent results, last time they played, it was 1-0. Before that, 4-1 to City. Before that, 1-0 Liverpool. Before that, it was 2-2, then 2-2, 4-1. So yeah, there's rarely clean sheets when these two play each other. It tends to be lots of goals. So yeah, I think both teams score.
Start your studs as we always do in FPL. I think anybody who's like, oh, I have to get off of my triple up and City attack, you can roll those guys out, and there's a good chance that they could come through in a big match. And that's what I'm hoping for, a big game Kev, if I hold him. So that's a wrap for the fast forward and the preview of the matches from Double Game Week 28. We're going to take a quick break and come back with our community questions. We'll be right back.
All right, we're back. Let's stick our sticky fingers into the mailbag because it's time for some great community questions. Thank you to our followers and the FPL USA and larger FPL community on social media for getting their questions in. Let's start with one from at Bangla FPL, who's asking, how many double game week 28 players is ideal? And should we focus on a Bournemouth defender, even if we're not doing free hit 29? So I know, Oscar, you weighed in on this a little bit, but let's get firm. You just skip the Bournemouth defender if Senesi's not fit, or you still think it's worth the transfer in to then potentially sell?
Yeah, I mean, that could be a factor. You know, we know Senesi, they might look worse defensively, but if you're not free hitting 29, then I think it has to be a Bournemouth defender. So, for me, I think it has to be a Bournemouth defender. I think it has to be Zabanye. Kirkes is great, but like when Kelly's back, which could be in a few weeks, it could be later, then they could share minutes. When Aaron's is back, he could share minutes with Smith. So for me, it's Zabanye or no one at all. And obviously Neto.
I'm just going to jump in here. I was just thinking, man, what if Alfie Doty was on Bournemouth? That would be brilliant because Kirkes, he's a 20-year-old, but he really has no attacking threat. And it's so frustrating not to punt on a wingback or a fullback in this fixture. But I think Barney is the only player to go for if you're not going to prioritize Neto.
Yeah, and just to extend onto this, we had the Run CMC ask a similar question. He said, should I focus on Zabs over Doughty if I'm going to free hit 29? So it's kind of just the same thing. If you're not free hitting 29, go for Luton. If you are free hitting 29, go for Bournemouth. However, yeah, exactly. I think the exception there for me is in defense, especially if you've got some injuries like I have, because I'm with you, Focal. I had Pinnock for so long for game week 29. So I still have him. And I already have Zabani. So I think I might also get Doughty and go with Doughty and Zabani in defense. I think that's the only exception I would do. If you have injuries in defense, I think you could get a Luton defender, even if you're free hitting 29.
Agreed.
All right, next up, we have a community question that comes from multiple sources. So we got at Barrister FPL, at FPL Paz, and one of our mini league members, Sonia Kukler, who's asking about how many hits and players should we target for blank game week 29 to justify or avoid using the free hit?
I'll jump in and answer this one. You know, my thoughts are that when you look at your chips, bench boost, free hit, triple captain, you know, you want to get at least 15 plus points from those chips. So there's a situation where I would take up to a minus 12 to field a team in the blank game week 29. Again, team dependent, but you want to focus those hits on the attackers that have the double digit ceiling potential. So you're talking Maddo, you're talking Sun, you're talking about probably Bailey and Watkins, Tony.
Muniz,
those are the players.
Muniz, of course. Muniz.
Sure, but that's kind of like the max. You know, it still puts me off. I'm going to be free hitting in 29, but if you really want to save that chip for 34 or 37, you know, it's completely up to you. There's no perfect way to play this this chip strategy this year, but I think a minus 12, if you have the seven attackers in it, then it makes sense. What are your thoughts there, Focal?
Yeah, I agree with that. If you can cover the key players, then I'd be happy enough not playing 11. If you can get 9 out, then I think that's perfectly fine. Even 8, as long as you've got those key players covered.
8's a good sweet spot there. So that's what we recommend. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, especially right before the game week starts, how many players are on minus 8s, minus 12s. So we'll look forward to checking FPL game week and other sites right before the deadline.
Next up in the rundown comes from past guests of our podcast at FPL Fella, who hilariously FaceTimed Dan during the Bowen hat-trick explosion from inside the stadium to let him know how good it was going. That's when you know you have really made it in the FPL community. Bravo to you, Dan. Bravo
to
you,
fella, for being... That was one of the pictures of the year right there. Him holding up the three. And this happened, Focal, before Dan even knew that Bowen had scored the hat trick because of the time delay on the broadcast. So he was losing his fucking mind.
Yeah, I had like a wasted fella calling me on WhatsApp, just being like 3-3. I was like, what are you talking about? And then I saw the goal go in and we went crazy together. It was really good.
Unreal.
All right. So he wants to ask you, Oscar, win FPL this season or have Arsenal take home the Champions League trophy?
What a question from Dan. I think the selfish answer would be to win FPL because the things that would do for my channel and whatever. But I would say Arsenal win the Champions League 100%. I think that just that's the
Wow.
unselfish answer because
Brian,
that's
that's
millions
the
of fans,
right
isn't it?
answer. Hold on.
Yeah, it has to
Oscar,
be
that
that.
is the right answer
I'd
because,
say the same about winning the Premier League as well.
yeah, team and fandom over FPL, left, right, center, every day of the week, 24/7, even in a leap year when we get the bonus day. That is the correct answer, 110%.
Look, I'll
Yeah.
play devil's advocate there and just say if it was me, I probably only have one chance in my whole life to even come close to sniffing number one overall in FPL. Whereas if you are a fan of a top six team, you're going to have chances for the rest of your life on this planet Earth to win at least a single trophy for sure. And Arsenal are well on their way to doing that. So I would wager, Arsenal having many more chances to bring home the hardware versus you finishing overall number one in the world on in FPL. So that's just my two cents.
Try selling that to one Harry Kane. He wouldn't believe that. And now, as a spoiled Chelsea fan, I would like to just sniff the underside of a trophy, let alone win one. Golly.
Try being a Wolves fan. I've never seen them win anything apart from the playoff final. So I would take a trophy any day of the week.
Yeah, but you're Fraud Wolf now. You're not even Black Wolf.
Yeah, we don't believe anything you say,
Yeah, whatever.
Mr. Top 10K.
Next up, Chefman7979 wants to know if Focal's flag for hand injury is okay for double game week 28. Oscar, you gonna play through?
Okay. So for context, I do deadline streams every week, every weekend. And last week, the deadline was in the afternoon, obviously, UK time. So I thought I'd have a quick bite to eat before I go live. So I'd got a baguette out and I was trying to cut the baguette and the knife slipped and I really badly cut my finger. It was really
Oh.
bad. It's fine though. Didn't have to go to hospital. Didn't need stitches and it's healing over. I don't know if you can see, but yeah, the finger's okay. So yeah, thanks for the concern. I've had quite a few questions on videos actually. People are like, how's the finger? Which is nice. Yeah, I'm fine.
No, it's good. It's good to have that community around you who are actually paying attention to everything you say, not just FPL and also your livelihood. So that's what we love about the FPL community.
Yeah, they were more concerned than my girlfriend, I was saying, yeah.
I will say that if neither you or Black Wolf win FPL this season, maybe you guys can raise some funds by having Black Wolf kiss the wound on OnlyFans after the season ends.
No one's going to pay to see that.
I don't know. I
You
don't
might be surprised. Black Wolf has a very
know.
engaged fan club. It's shocking to Brian and I every single game week.
Have you ever seen Love Actually, Focal?
I have multiple times, yeah.
Yeah,
We
so
have to watch it every year.
that British guy that goes up to the US, it's real.
It's really, yeah, okay.
I'm just kidding.
The accent impact is
There
real.
you go.
All right,
There
next
you
question
go.
we have is from at my Cayman fan. He's asking about situations where managers might have Areola versus Neto, or even if you would bench an Arsenal defender for a Bournemouth defender this week. So, I mean, I definitely lean towards play the double game weekers if you have them, but I wouldn't be rushing to bring in a Bournemouth defender if you don't need to and have double Arsenal fence, for example. So curious, what your kind of mantra is there, Oscar.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Areola's going to have good clean sheet chances against Burnley, but yeah, you definitely play Neto there. Yeah, it depends on your back line. Like, I wouldn't sell an Arsenal defender for a Bournemouth one. If you've got someone else stinking your defence up, like in my case, it's Stupinian, then I think that move makes sense.
I rate that. I totally agree. I think if you have the doublers, you got to play them. That's why you have them in your team. Otherwise, it's kind of you're holding on for a dream that's never coming. So, two is better than one, and I think there's going to be a lot of hits in the community because people get enticed and enthralled by the appeal of a double game week. And oh, the hits don't count if because they get appearance points. People fall into that fallacy, but at the end of the day, the kind of the numbers and the variance is on the side of the guys that play twice.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at my team, I have some rotten defenders, especially this week. I have Bradley versus City. I have Reguilon versus Chelsea. I have Cash and Pedro Porro, who both play each other, I'm not seeing any clean sheets in any of those matches. So I'm definitely weighing up a minus four potentially to bring in an extra defender this week, because I just see all of those teams conceding. And it's one of those things where at least you get two bites at the apple and maybe you fall ass backwards into a clean and they end up on 7 or 8 points in a game weekend. That would be pretty good.
Pretty good. Let's go to the next question. And it comes from the musical talent on our podcast. Thank you to friend of the pod, Holy Pinto. He's having a dog shit season and we're trolling him in our friend mini league chat. So he had to buy the plaque saying who if the group is the best manager. And it's looking like he's going to buy that plaque for a second year straight. He's not happy about it. Let's just leave it at that. So he's asking, if you're doing a rage game week 28 wildcard in order to bench boost in game week 29,
huh?
Who would you captain this week? He's bringing in a team with 15 players that play in blank game week 29. Don't ask too many questions, Oscar. Your brain might explode, as has happened to me on multiple occasions.
This is a mind bender right here.
I've got so many questions. If you're wildcarding now, you definitely don't bench boost 29 because you're going to have such a rubbish bench and it's going to hurt the rest of your team for beyond that. If I was wildcarding this week, I would be looking to get 9 players out in 29. I'd certainly wouldn't bench boost and I wouldn't free hit either. You can save chips there. So I'd be looking to free hit 34, bench boost 37. You mentioned like the rage wildcarding and I get it. Like FPL can be super tilting, but I wouldn't do a bench boost in 29. Definitely not.
I mean, is he serious here about the bench boost?
No, he's been sending screenshots. It has triple Fulham, triple Bournemouth, triple Spurs. It's a sight to behold. It's not going near the Mona Lisa anytime soon. Let's just say that.
He's a proper troll, though, and we love him for it. He's also from London and lives here in the U.S., and he's having a tough season. So we'll see what he ends up on.
And Oscar, I know you mentioned you're going to hold your wild card a bit longer, but if you were wild carding in 28, are there any players who are kind of essential? You definitely wouldn't go without them.
So if I was on a wild card now, I could actually tell you the 15 because I was looking at exactly what team I'd have if I was wild carding. I would have Neto in goal, Zabanye, Doughty, Gabriel. I'd have Saka, Barkley, Bowen and Son, Solanke, Haaland and Watkins front three. And then my bench would probably be Fleck and Madison, Pedro Porro, and Reguilon.
I just have to jump in here and say that you pretty much just read out my starting 11 this week, apart from Areola in goal instead of Neto. So that makes me feel good.
Yeah, looking good. I mean, you're way ahead of me in the rankings, so you can back yourself.
It won't stay there. It won't stay there.
That's all this podcast is devoted to, just making Dan try and look good from week to weekend. We're doing it once again.
Yeah, he feels even better on the OnlyFans. This is just a warm-up. Don't worry, guys.
You're obsessed with my OnlyFans books.
I'm one of the premium subscribers. The content is incredible. It's must
look.
Tune in
I mean,
week.
We Oscar knows as well as anybody here. Those dedicated paying subscribers, those dedicated paying members, they help you buy your coffee each morning and live life to the fullest. So we're just here to support you, Dan.
But you're still on the free version of Zoom where we record three times. Out of budget, that.
Yeah, I will
you know
be
why?
Editing
that's
that out.
That's because Dan is cheap. He hasn't shared the loot with all of us.
Yeah, he's big dicking in his own bank account, not in the LLC of FPL USA Press Play.
Ain't that the truth? That's a perfect place to end. Thank you to our listeners. This was an amazing mailbag of great questions. A lot of topics covered, even some wacky shit that is right in line with our podcast ethos. So we love that. Thank you for getting involved in the comments and getting these questions in. Now it is time to put the bank account on the line. Who are we bringing in with our transfer plans and captaincy shouts?
Yeah, let's start with Dan because he is the top of the table here, Dan. So we want to focus on getting you in the top 1,000 this year and giving our humble podcast some more plaudits. So what are you planning this week? I know you already took a hit to bring a Bournemouth player in last week who you oddly benched, but needed the funds exactly to make that move happen. So what are you planning this week?
Yeah, so this week it's going to be Darwin to Solanke captain. I think that's a pretty obvious move. And then I think I'll take a minus four to do Ethan Pinnock to Alfie Doughty. He's a cheap defender. He has a double game week. I don't need, I can keep him on my bench for all of the game weeks going forward until I play him in something like game week 32 or 33. I forget which one it is. So I think that's the obvious minus four move for me. And that will see me going with Solanke, Zabani, and Doughty as my three double game week players this week. And I'll be free hitting 29.
Love it.
For a minus four, that's as good as it goes.
All right, next up, let's pass it over to Oscar. You are ready for a green arrow after a slightly disappointing game week 27. So what's your plan of attack this week?
Yeah, for me, it's going to be Ederson leaving the team. I'm happy enough with him. Obviously, no clean sheet last match, but he did well in the double. So it'd be Ederson to Neto, and then it'll be Estupiñán to Zabanie. So that gets me triple Bournemouth. No Luton. So my team would be Neto, Saliba, Gabriel, Zabanie, Palmer, Son, Saka, Gordon, Solanke, captain, Haaland, and Watkins. And that'll be me for game week 28, free hit 29. And then beyond that, don't know.
Good looking team. Can't argue with that. And I think, again, managers are going to be taking minus fours, minus eights to attack the double. So good position to hopefully set you up for a green arrow.
I think I'm next. I'll go next. I got one free transfer, a boatload of cash in the bank. And I got this Adebayo sized problem in my forward line. So he just left my team, actually, as we were transitioning to the segment. I brought in Solanke. So I will have Solanke, Haaland, and Watkins leading the line, like many in the FPL community. And then my move for a minus four is either going to be Roberta 8 Nori out for a Bournemouth defender, or it's going to be KDB out for either Son or Bowen. So I'm kind of split between those moves, and I would like to open it to my panel of FPL wizards to help me kind of decipher the coda here and get to the right moves. So what do you rate for the minus four?
Are you free hitting 29 is the important question.
I have not fully come around to making that decision yet. I might even take a minus eight this game week and then a minus four again next week to try and swerve it, because Oscar, just for you to know, I only have my free hit remaining. I've blown all of my chips already inflate my rank and my ego, as a good New Yorker should do. So that is a little behind the curtain, but that's where I stand right now. So I'm trying, if possible, to swerve
the
free hit.
You can tell that Bucks has never run the New York Marathon here. He's blowing all of his gaskets early in the game and enjoying his inflated rank right now.
Don't hate. I mean, you haven't ran a marathon either.
I can relate. Don't worry. Like, when I got the rank one, I bench boosted in like game week seven, which was very unorthodox. I did the similar thing. Oh yeah, KDB to Sun's difficult, isn't it? Because like last week looked like the better entry point, home to Palace as opposed to away to Villa. I think that's difficult from minus four, but I think you're going to have to decide if you're going to free hit 29 or not before the deadline. If you're not, then I definitely would do that.
Yeah, I'm kind of admittedly waiting. I want to see that Man City team for tomorrow in the Champions League. So this podcast will release in all likelihood on Wednesday when City are playing Copenhagen at home in the Champions League. I think that's going to have an outsized impact on how I proceed with taking a minus four or even a minus eight. That being said, right now I'm on Solanke cap in my bus team since I just brought him in. But I'm not as sold on that as I might have been a couple game weeks ago. And the plan has kind of been ripped and thrown all into confetti all around my house. And so we're just winging it at this point. We're trying to get a green arrow each and every game week and keep pace with my pod partner, Black Wolf, who's just smashing it.
You better hope that we don't get news that Solanke's knee injury has flared up and he's not going to play the double game week. That would be typical FPL, wouldn't it? I'm waiting until last minute to make that transfer.
That's fair. Everyone's brought him in. Everyone's going to be down in the dust with me. So I won't be the only one getting the kind of 7-gun or 12-gun salute, whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, now I'm hoping he's actually maybe injured so that he has to waste another transfer, and then Dan and I can just move for Morris instead and not take that hit. But those
thanks for the support,
sense.
Guys. It's nice to know that Focal at least has a supportive community.
I got your back.
We can't support you, Bucks. we spend too much time with you to support you on a daily basis. It's rough. It's rough. But Dan and I, we have our private chat, just him and I, just complaining about you. And yeah,
can't
I'm curious.
Replace this energy, baby. This is pure no coffee today. I'm living.
That a boy. So yeah, I think the KDB and Sun one is something that's on my mind as we look at my transfer plans. I only have Solanke in place right now for double game week 28. I'm split between going for Barney versus Elfie, and wow, two players I never thought I'd even own, and this is why FPL makes you pay attention to the most obscure of players. But I mean, between those guys, like 8 points would be great. I mean, Doughty has the potential to have 2 points in this game week. That's the only problem with him. So I think because each player's ceiling is not very high, I'll probably play it safe and go with Barney. But I really want Neto. And I made a big mistake earlier in the season where I moved for Dubrovcuk and I took out Areola. So I just have Dubrovcuk as my every game week goalkeeper, and that's proved to be very troublesome for me. When he came into the side, Newcastle's defense looked like, oh, they're great. This is a bargain. I'll play him every week. And man, that's gone wrong. He's gotten ill. He missed a match in the blank game week. I got a 0 pointer there. And then on top of all the other problems they have in defense. So bringing in Neto for my backup keeper just gives me a little bit of insulation. And I do want to hold on to Dubravka because he might potentially double in game week 34. And so, it's a -4 potentially to bring in two Bournemouth defenders, but it kind of makes sense and maybe just skip the hit and hope KDB can be very active in that match versus a Liverpool B team. So that's what I'm looking at, -4 to do that. Could be a -8 if KDB gets injured or looks poor in Champions League. And then I'm like, oh, I need to bring Son in instead of him. So not really huge problems to have, but if Neto is in my side, I will captain Neto for sure because I'm just punting against the field at my 500-600K rank. So just all fun here and hits every week.
We love it. We love you, Brian, even though you're having a dog shit season. We still support you. It's not a two-way street all the time here in Brooklyn, New
You
York. That's for
have to
sure.
support me because the hours of editing your bullshit each week, it takes a toll on me. It grinds me down. That's probably the reason why I'm having such a bad year.
Yeah, you have dreams of my voice on this podcast, which probably are mostly nightmares, and I apologize for that. With that, get in here, Focal.
No, I was just gonna say I really love that you guys just call it as it is. I've never sworn in videos before, but you guys, you're like, oh, you're having a dog shit season. This kind of stuff just makes me laugh because it's just like actual banter. I don't know if I could get away with it on YouTube, which is why I've never bothered. But yeah, I love it. Just wanted to point that out.
Well, we
Good
figured
banter on it.
there's enough podcasts out there that tell you how to do play FPL properly with all the stats and with all the charts and all that kind of
Yeah.
stuff. There's people better at us than that. So we have our little niche here in the FPL USA community where we just talk shit every single week between three
We're
friends.
just hanging
So
out. We're hanging out.
exactly.
Yeah, it's great.
It's all about the love of the FPL game. It's not necessarily about winning the whole thing, though Dan might just come in and shake that all up. We're not only having a good time, but he might go and win the damn thing, which would really be something else, wouldn't it? And Wolves aren't going to win anything, but our Black Wolf might. That's enough for our
The
humble
dream. The
podcast.
dream for the pod. All right, before we get out of here, Focal, please plug away and let our listeners know, especially any new listeners to the pod, where they can find you and all of your great content.
Yeah, if anyone's interested in watching my videos, then I'm on YouTube, FPL Focal. My handle on Twitter and TikTok and Instagram and everything now is and OnlyFans is FPL Focal, so you can catch me on all those platforms. So yeah, that's where you can get me if you're not following me.
Love that. That OnlyFans is about to blow up. Just you wait. Your girlfriend is not going to be happy with that additional revenue stream. That's for sure.
All right. Well, thank you very much to all of our dedicated listeners for checking us out this week. Some great community questions and excitement ahead of the double game week 28. Wishing everybody green arrows, and especially for our guest, a big green arrow. We love to see when the podcast guest gets that little extra bump from appearing on our pod and seeing a big game week ahead of them. So thanks again, Oscar, for joining us. Bucks, it's been a pleasure. Dan, we're going to see you in the top 5K next game week for our next preview, and we cannot wait to be back on the airwaves. Have a great night.
Thanks.